Listening Library presents The Magic Paintbrush by Kat Zhang with Eric Darnell. Read for you by Sunny Liu. For Michael, who always encourages my art, KZ. For my grandfather Cliff Barron, aka Seth Pebbles, ED. 1. The most nerve-wracking thing about Amy's art teacher, Mr. Roos, wasn't the missing chunk from his left thumb, an accident with a table saw. It wasn't the collection of animal skulls decorating his art room, two rabbits, a large rat, and a deer. It wasn't even the over-exuberant way he flailed around when excited, jabbing at students with a pair of scissors or a paintbrush. It was the way he snuck up on you.
Amy Lee,
he said. Amy jumped. Mr. Roos's booming voice made everything sound weighty, whether it was,
final projects due Friday,
or
there are no mistakes in art,
or his favorite,
class, paint harder.
No one knew what he meant by paint harder, but they tried to do it.
Amy Lee.
He infused disappointment into each syllable of her name. There weren't a lot of syllables, but there was a lot of disappointment.
We have 10 minutes until the end of class.
Did you fall asleep? Heat crept up Amy's neck. Despite Mr. Roos's accusation, she'd actually spent the last half hour hard at work trying to draw their assigned still life display. But every time she made a pencil line, she erased it again.
This isn't free time, Mr. Roos chided. Art is important.
Amy slumped in her chair as the rest of her seventh grade art class turned to gawk.
Art is expression. Art is making the internal external.
Her teacher seemed to grow with every word, transforming from man to monster, a passionate, art-loving Godzilla.
Art is...
His gaze fell on Lily Manders' sketchbook. Instead of using graphite or colored pencils, she'd scraped out her still life with a palette knife. Her swoops of paint transformed an apple into a jewel, a velvet backdrop into a menacing shadow, a cheap decanter into a kaleidoscope of light. Amy had never seen Lily use an eraser, never seen her sigh over a painting that refused to come out right. Color and form leapt straight from Lily's imagination to her canvas. They didn't get tangled and muddied in her fingers the way they did for Amy. No, Lily's art was both effortless and perfect. Always. Mr. Roos certainly thought so. He lifted Lily's sketchbook into the air.
Wonderful, Lily! An excellent candidate for the upcoming art show!
Lily beamed. Amy's fingers tightened around her pencil. The spot where she'd drawn and redrawn the glass decanter was starting to go fuzzy from too much erasing. Her best friend, Diego, leaned over to whisper,
Oh, come on, like Mr. Roos knows what he's talking about.
Diego usually had a knack for making Amy feel better, but right now she could only focus on their art teacher's adoration of Lily's still life and her own achingly empty page.
He does know, she sighed. Lily's amazing. Anyone can see that.
You're just as good as she is, Diego said.
Amy snorted. She might be jealous of Lily Manders, but that didn't mean she was delusional.
Don't be ridiculous.
She bent back over her sketchbook. She had to produce something before the bell rang.
I'm not,
Diego protested. He rustled through his book bag, then tapped his phone against her arm.
You made these, didn't you?
He'd pulled up her old Artbox account. She'd signed up years ago, back when she was eager to share every drawing with the world. The app scrolled through her gallery, highlighting each piece for a few seconds before moving on to the next. First, a dreamy painting of a soaring ship. The Skylance. It was half Leonardo da Vinci flying machine, half futuristic spacecraft. Nimbus clouds parted across its bow. Then came a conga line of skeletons dancing in bird-of-paradise plumage. Their bones gleamed like mother-of-pearl. And finally, a creature with a tiger's body and a bird's head. Amy had captured him just starting to leap, his head reared back, his haunches coiled and powerful.
Luna, her old imaginary friend. The pieces were all digital art, Amy's favorite medium. You couldn't erase colored pencil. Not really. You certainly couldn't erase paint. But with her drawing tablet, no mistake was permanent. That knowledge eased something in Amy's fingers. For a moment, she sat transfixed by the parade of her old embarrassments. Then she pushed Diego's phone away. "That's not even my style anymore, Diego. I haven't touched that account in ages." Almost a year, to be exact. Ever since she'd decided to take art seriously. "Why not?" Diego asked. "It was really cool." "It was little kid stuff. And Mr. Roos is going to take your phone if you don't put it away." Amy tried to refocus on the still life, to find something expressive about it. But before she could start again, the bell rang. Everyone jumped up. Diego didn't say anything, but the look in his eyes told Amy he wasn't ready to drop the subject. If she weren't so annoyed, she'd be touched by his loyalty. Diego didn't even like art that much. His great loves were music, by bands Amy had never heard of, and wrestling. But he always wanted to see her drawings, even back in third grade when she drew 90% horses. He'd taken 2 years of art so they could have at least one class together. But he didn't always get it. Amy wanted to be good, actually good, like Lily Manders. And that meant tackling her art critically. It meant moving on from the silly things she'd doodled before. "What are you going to do over spring break?" she asked. "Play with your uncle's band again?" Diego gave her a look. It said, loud and clear, "Not a very subtle change in topic." He and Amy had been best friends since kindergarten, and sometimes they had entire conversations where they didn't say a word. Like now, when Amy fixed him with her very best squint that said, "Drop it, Diego." "Fine," he said. "And yes, Uncle Isaac's band is practicing a new song, and he's going to let me perform with him if I can learn the drum part. But that's only in the evenings. We're going to have plans, aren't we? It's been ages since we were in Flushing together." Diego frequently stayed with his uncle during school holidays, but trips to Flushing were rarer for Amy. She always loved going, eager for the change of pace from Port Jefferson. But this wasn't going to be a normal visit to Flushing. "I'm staying with my grandma, Diego," she reminded him glumly. "I have to keep her company, and she's like 100 years old. I'll be lucky if we leave the house." 2. When Amy's parents first told her they were planning a week-long cruise to the Arctic Circle, she thought they were joking. Didn't people take cruises to the Bahamas or Hawaii? To places with sun-soaked beaches and brightly colored drinks? Instead, her parents wanted polar bears and ice. And they wanted to go without Amy. It was an anniversary trip celebrating 15 years of marriage. Amy wasn't even upset they were going without her. She just wished they hadn't chosen her one and only seventh grade spring break to do it. Which meant she'd spend the week with her grandma.
"Amy!" Mom called.
Amy cringed. She was lounging on the roof outside her bedroom window, her favorite spot to daydream, and someplace she wasn't technically allowed to go. She scrambled inside just in time to see Mom cross her arms. "Amy, I've told you a million times you can't sit out there. You'll roll off and break your legs. If you're not careful..."
"I am careful," Amy said.
"I'm the most careful person I know." "You're careful about some things, I'll give you that. But you are not careful about the roof. If you were, you wouldn't go out there at all." She held up a finger when Amy started to protest. "We're not getting into it now. Are you finished packing?"
"Yes," Amy mumbled.
"You have pajamas and your toothbrush?"
"Yes."
"What about your phone charger? Grandma doesn't have a fancy phone like yours."
"I packed it, Mom."
"All right, all right." Mom lugged her own suitcase toward the stairs. "Remember, you have Uncle Jim's number in your contacts. If you can't reach...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?